Hello, hello. What's up, trainers? And welcome to the Poke-Centered Podcast, your one-stop shop for anything and everything Pokemon. I'm your host, Wazakis Gaming, and with me today is a creator who focuses on teaching you how to play the Pokemon TCG and offering in-depth guides to players of all skill levels. It's Triple BTCG. Hi, how's it going? Hello.
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And if this is your first time listening into the podcast, here on the Poke-Centered Podcast, we are looking to center different members of the community, from shiny hunters to collectors, play some games, answer some questions sent in by you all, the fans, and just have a good time. And without further ado, we're going to get into it. First off, who are you? What do you do? Let the listeners know who maybe are not familiar with your content.
Triple B TCG, primarily. I do YouTube, TikTok, and streaming on Twitch. So twice a week over on Twitch, we host the Budget Build Battles Tournament, which we actually just finished wrapping up stream. I'm based in Australia. 11:30 p.m. for me, so a little bit of a time zone gap there. But yeah, trying to help people get into the game. I got into the game with theme decks, and that's always been the way I've liked it. So very much focused on playing the game on a budget. And that's why I've introduced that format, to kind of bring that back into the format to a degree. Like, you're still playing with the standard card rules, right? But just no rule box cards, and yeah, just not janky decks, but not meta decks.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. I actually was taking a look through your content, and I found out that I actually have been watching your videos longer than I realized. I guess I just didn't put two and two together. And so you mentioned that you do like TCG, like deck breakdowns, but I also know that you do a lot of tournaments. You were just doing a tournament on your stream, weren't you? Just like a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Yeah, so how does that work for you hosting your own remotely?
It's tricky. So we host it over on Limitless TCG. So it's a website I feel like most people are familiar with, but if you're newer to the community, you might not be overly across. A lot of the times they'll post results from regional tournaments. So if you're after like a meta deck list, it's a great spot to go to, but you can also play online tournaments there. So yeah, I host it on there, completely free to play. If you win, you get some code cards so you can help build your collection on PTCGL. But even if you don't, you're still getting reps in, and an interesting way to play the game, and also just meeting other people in the community. So yeah, all in all, if you have checked out Limitless, highly recommend it. It's a great resource for players of all skill levels, to be honest.
And do you put these tournaments together? Is this like a one-man show, or do you have people that help you?
Mostly one-man show. I've got a couple of the regulars in my Twitch community that do help out with judging, just because at the moment I also play in the tournaments, just so we have like a consistent stream of the game. So I'll be playing in it. You can see my gameplay of it and kind of like breaking down what the game plan is, how to structure a deck, how to play the matches, how to participate in the tournaments. And then we do have some other people assisting with judging, so it's not like I'm in the middle of a turn, I have
right,
to like drop
okay,
everything
cool.
and run to do that. So yeah, we've got a couple of people that help out. So yeah, if they're listening, Dudsta, Zen, Rema, and I feel like I'm missing a name now and I'm going to get roasted for it. But yeah, I appreciate my judges. They definitely help make things run.
And how do you think like the skill level? Do you have people like of all different skill levels that are playing, or is it pretty like experienced players, or?
I get a bit of a mix. So I think the very first tournament I hosted, we had a person that had won NAIC come and participate, which the name is blanking.
There's so many names I'm sure that come through. It's impossible.
No, I feel bad for that. No, but they won NAIC running Rapid Strike Urshifu a couple of years. I think it was 2 years back, and it was just like, man, that's epic. And then, yeah, I saw their name pop up, and I was like, Cyrus Davis. That's who it is. Like,
Cyrus. Okay, awesome. Shout out to Cyrus.
And they're like, yeah, it's me. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So it was pretty cool seeing a person of that skill level come and try out the alternate format. But yeah, we have a lot of people that are brand new to the game, so it is kind of just explaining the rules to them, explaining the basics of playing it. And then we have people at a competitive level too. So you get a nice mix. So you're not coming in and just like feeling like it's free wins, like you will be challenged.
Gotcha.
But if you are brand new to the game, don't feel that it's like, oh, I can't participate in this. Like, you absolutely can.
And so the content that you make for like your deck breakdowns, would you say that people of all skill levels can kind of find some value in your content? Or do you gear towards one or the other?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I try and help out, like break it down to the basics for people. So I treat every video as if it's the first time somebody's seeing a video for the Pokemon TCG. So if there's trainers in it that it's like, to most people, it's kind of just common knowledge, I'll still at least skim over them. So I'll be like, oh, and for draw support, we're running Professor's Research and Iona, which if you've been playing the game for a month, you're like, okay, I know these. Why is he talking about these?
Right.
But it's for those people where it's like, oh, they've literally gone, oh, I pulled a Porygon card. Is there a deck that works for this? They search it up, they're like, oh, I can get into the game now, and like, this makes sense. So I want it to be kind of approachable, to that degree, but then also it does dive into depth of like, these are the combos you want to be going for. This is how you want to properly sequence your turns. So for people that are at a competitive mindset, they can kind of break it down and go like, okay, like I understand these lines and grab it and run with it. But for beginners too, it's kind of, I want it to be digestible for them. So
right. No, yeah, I'm actually someone who collected. I just collect the cards. I do a lot of like just general Pokemon news videos. I used to do like pro Magic the Gathering, and I did like some of those pro. Yeah, so but Magic, it's with SpongeBob cards now in the sets. Like I've just had to step back. Just a little bit.
Universes Beyond stuff, I think. Secret Layers or Beyond. Universe Beyond, I think.
People really like that.
I've got some of the background.
Yeah, it's like Patrick is a human in the game, and I don't understand how that's... We have Merfolk.
Yeah.
But I digress. This is about Pokemon.
There was other options, but... No,
there was other options.
Doing it for the memes.
For the memes, for sure. But as someone who's like, you know, I went to pro from one game to Pokemon, it's like... This is a whole different kind of ball game. So I felt as though, you know, your videos were very approachable as someone who's like, oh, I really understand the basis of TCG, but maybe I wasn't so confident here. So I do feel like a lot of your content is really good for beginners, but also your experience in other games. This will help kind of make that gap. So I think that's really awesome. Now, because we actually got a lot of discussion points about the new Destined Rivals set that's coming out. $300. Some people are... $300 on TCG Player right now for an ETB.
It sells out like instantly. I tried to hop on the Pokemon Center store and it was like, oh, you're in the queue. And I'm like, okay. And it was like, you didn't get out of the queue though. I'm like, oh, okay.
So did you not get an ETB yesterday?
I'm getting nothing. I didn't know it opened again. No. But yeah, it's going to be very tricky for people to find cards. So like for people that, really like opening packs.
Good luck. Which is why I think it's so awesome to have, if you're going to do card content, to do like breakdown videos and stuff, because essentially it's free instead of having to do like pack openings and things like that. But Destined Rivals has some amazing cards in it, both art wise and, you know, some things that we're seeing for the game. I'm really excited to start building like a Team Rocket based deck. It has a lot of really awesome trainer cards coming out in this set. And I just want to know, because I've seen that you've done some like overviews of the set. What do you think of it from like a deck standpoint, competitive? Is it buildable? Is this easier for new players? Like, what are your thoughts?
There's going to be a handful of decks in it, which I feel like the set's going to hype up like they always do. There's the ones that are on the pack art and they're kind of like, oh, this is what you should be after. But for this set, it does, not that they're red herrings, but I think there's a lot of the cards that they look like they're going to be better than they are. And the cards that look like they're probably aren't that great are actually gems. Like there's a Porygon Z in it that is very reflective of like Night March and Mad Party and United Wings decks, where it's like the more cards you have in the discard that trigger this ability, the more the damage goes up. And at first glance I was like, oh, it's a meme, but then when you break down the numbers it's like, oh, actually it's kind of legit. And there's an Articuno to pair it with too that makes it so your basic Pokemon don't take effects from attacks, so it's got a counter to Dragapult, so it's like your basic Porygons on the bench while you're trying to set them up, they're not going to be getting picked apart. So it's like, oh, there's actually like some logic to this that's good. And I feel like it's flying under the radar, whereas something like Team Rocket's Mewtwo,
it's
good, like it's a big basic, but it seems like it's trying to do something that we already have in the format. Like Raging Bolt has scaling damage and it can set up very consistently, and it has inbuilt draw power pairing it with Ogre Pond. Mewtwo, it's restricted because you need only Team Rocket Pokemon in play to actually be able to attack with it, so it's kind of got that handicapping it a little bit. And then it can only discard, I think it's 2 energy from your bench Pokemon or something,
right?
And
right.
It caps out at 280, so you need ways to modify it. Like we've got Maximum Belt, there's a Team Rocket Ampharos you can pair it with to help scale up the numbers a little bit. But it just seems like it's asking for more cards to do something that we can already do very effectively,
right?
So it's like, I don't know.
No, totally fair. I think a lot of people are also kind of blinded by nostalgia with this set. They see the Team Rocket and it's like, yeah, I know the Japanese set was like Glory of Team Rocket, but this is not really, truly just a Team Rocket set. It is rivalry. And this is actually a discussion point that we did have from a fan that didn't make it in. So I think this is interesting, is if you feel like scalpers and people who want to get their hands on things that are like, oh, people love Mewtwo, so we're going to get as many Mewtwo things. Does this affect competitive pricing when you're trying to build your decks?
Kind of the opposite. at least from my experience. So the thing with scalpers, right, they're going to go, they're buying every single product they can off the shelf. And yeah, the price of sealed product goes up. But then these same people are the ones that are just cracking open boxes and they're looking for those big hits. So they're looking for the old cards, the full art cards, the trainer gallery stuff and everything else. It's like, okay, well now I have like 30 copies of this uncommon card. It's like, okay, great. Those are now in bulk binders and they're for sale. And now there's more available to us. That's at least kind of like the happy balance from it. But if these people think to actually go and post those on eBay or bring them to a card shop and sell them as singles or sell them as bulk lots is a whole other story. Like potentially they're just throwing away and it's like, okay, well now it's defeating it. But at least from my experience, like over in Australia, the secondhand market for getting cards, like buying singles is amazing. Like there's a lot of local shops here where they've got their website set up. I put my order on before I go into a league challenge or a league cup. I rock up, I grab the cards I need exactly to update my deck. And then it's like, okay, good. Like I can play now.
Oh, I think there's also been a misconception as I was looking through these questions that just because a card is collectible and expensive does not mean that that's what's being played in the meta. So a lot of these things are more so affecting collectors than they are going to be affecting your competitive players or just deck building. So 100%. If you want to get involved in deck building, don't think that these scalpers are going to prevent you from getting into this side of the hobby. Basically,
yeah, not at all. It's mostly like the higher Prismatic Evolutions as an example. It's a set that sells out basically instantly, but the playable card common. And it's like, oh, it's expensive. It's like, a dollar. It's a dollar for a common. It's expensive for a common, but it's not expensive.
If you wanted to pay, I think it was $50 to have the Master Ball, but that's with anything. If you want to bling out your deck, you're going to be spending a lot more.
Yeah.
And then actually, since we're talking about this, if someone wanted to get into the competitive side of TCG, what's a great way to start when you are just, even if you've been collecting the cards and you're familiar with them, but you've never really played, what's a good way to start?
Honestly, hopping on PTCG is a good way to at least dip your toes in. So when you make an account, the game literally just hands you cards. It's just like, here's, I think it's 6 or 8 like meta-ish decks. So it's not like out of the gate, this is a top tier competitive deck, but it's like, here's everything you need to be the basis of a Charizard deck. Here's everything to get a Dragapult EX deck started or a Raging Bolt deck started. So it gives you a lot to kind of get your foot in the door. It's not going to be necessarily top tier, but it definitely helps get you started. If you have already been collecting and you have a bunch of cards already, then like, great. Have a look through with the cards that you do have. If there's any that catch your eye, hop on Google or hop on YouTube and be like, hey, this card looks good. Is there a deck I can play with it? Mm-hmm. And there'll be people breaking down lists for it. Or like I mentioned earlier, checking out Limitless TCG. So then it'll show you like the top decks in the format. See those. Like Dragapult's always going to be good. It's one of those decks that the entire time it's in rotation, it's going to be good. Gardevoir is the same thing. It came out in what, Scarlet Violet?
Yeah, I think like base set
Yeah, it's like base set. It's still I think it's base set. Yeah, it won Atlanta last week. And it's like, okay. If you bought that card right when it came out, you have it for 3 years until it rotates and it will be relevant. And same with Charizard. Charizard's taking a bit of a dip, but it is what it is. Like you can go to a shop and buy I think they're League Battle Arena decks. Like in the US, how much are they? $30? $30, $40?
Yeah, $30-$40 just to give you all of the bases. It's gonna have all the trainers and energies. Like if you don't have what you need, this is where you can get your basics for sure.
Yeah, so there's heaps of ways you can get your foot in the door. And I think the Dragapult one just came out yesterday, actually. So you can go buy that, and you add like 10 cards to it, and you have a top-tier competitive deck ready to go. So, yeah. And in terms of like barrier to entry, I'd say Pokemon's very, very low in the TCG. Like $50, and you can play it at a competitive level, which is pretty crazy.
That is crazy. Speaking of competitive level, Pokemon Worlds is coming up, and I'm very excited. Are the viewers going to see you there?
Hoping to, yeah. So I've got a media pass for it. So like I'm able to go if I can go. Thank you. I'll be seeing you there as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Notable trainers. Yeah. Yes. First, is this your first time getting invited by Pokemon?
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be my first time heading over there. But yeah, it's just one of those things of figuring out flights, figuring out accommodation.
Yeah.
Obviously there's some other things going on in the world right now, which we won't dive into, but yeah.
So makes things a little bit harder.
Yeah. Keeping an ear to the ground, but the game plan is to head over there. So Anaheim should be a good time and very keen to meet a lot of people in the community.
For Worlds, just for people who maybe are not familiar, if there was one deck that maybe they should keep their eyes out for that you're expecting there, what would you say? I think Hop Zacian is going to come out, and it's been doing very well.
Like a sleeper pick?
It could be a sleeper pick, or if you're like, I can already tell this is going to do... I mean, like, we were already talking about, like, Dragapult is pretty top in the format right now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of decks that are trying to work to counter that specifically. So
I feel like we will, but also Worlds is, like, it's not super far away, but there should still be another set before we get it. Like, Destined Rivals will come out and be legal for that.
True.
And depending on how it times out, we might get another one because there's that, like, rumored black and white set
that should be July. Yeah, we get sets, like, every month.
Yeah, they've been coming out pretty quick lately. So it's just, there could be 100 plus cards we don't even know about yet that enter rotation. So it's a little early to say, but yeah, if you're looking for just a safe pick, Gardevoir, Dragapult, or they'll be making a showing for sure. And from Destined Rivals, I feel like Ethan's Ho-Oh could be a deck that comes out of left field once it starts seeing play. And I don't know, like, this might be copium for me, but I'm liking the Porygon. I'm building Porygon.
No. I like decks that kind of come out of nowhere. And when everyone is playing a specific, like, you know, 1 to 3, whatever amount of decks that are in the meta, you should be building a deck that goes against those. That's how you shake things up. And we're going to enter into the quiz portion of our show, where we're going to test your Pokemon trivia. And those at home, please feel inclined to play along. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So question number one, before Nintendo took over entirely in 2003, which game company was responsible for producing Pokemon cards?
Is it Wizards?
It's Wizards of the Coast. Yes, it is. All right. Question two. The Pokemon game was banned in this country due to references of gambling and other problematic references. Is it A, Egypt, B, Russia, C, Saudi Arabia, or D, Zimbabwe? Oh, it's okay.
If you don't know what it is, go with C.
It is Saudi Arabia.
Is it actually?
Oh, yeah, go with C, guys. C is how you get through the test. Question three. So, stadium cards were first seen in the sets Gym Heroes and Gym Challenge. Name two other types of Pokemon cards that were not found in the original iteration of the game.
As you said, stadium, so I'm going to say tools.
Tools is one of them. Yeah, one more type.
This is not like a trick one where we're like not including EX. Or maybe it was EXs, actually. Was that when they were introduced?
So these are
introduced?
Types
like
of cards?
That's
like
Pokemon?
So the other answer is going to be just your supporter cards. You're not going to find Arvin or Iono.
They're just trainers.
Yeah.
Right, so there used to be like bills that was play four of these and draw eight cards.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, back in the day. All right, final question. Pokemon's mascot Pikachu has been printed the most number of times since the TCG Day debut. How many cards does he have? 373, 215, or 201?
243.
I'm going to give you one more chance. You got 215, 201, and 173.
Which one was C?
215.
Say 215.
It's 215. I didn't even think to do that.
I should have stuck to the plan.
Okay, for future references, don't make them all C. Got it.
Or D.
Hey,
no one will be expecting it now.
You did good. I think that's a solid 3 out of 4, which we're not going to go into the percentages and just call it an A. So this is the part of the show where we're going to read some questions from fans, and feel free to answer these just kind of how you are. So our first question comes from anonymous user over our YouTube community. Does the Pokemon TCG game get repetitive for you? I feel like it's just looking for the same cards over and over again.
Yes and no. Because there's kind of one of those things, if like the repetitiveness of it is how you get better at the game. Mm-hmm. If every single game is completely different, you're not going to develop that skill, and there's other games you can be playing for that, right? Like you can go play a roguelite or something like that. Like for the TCG, you are trying to kind of hone in on a skill set of like, this is what this deck wants to do. I know my game plan. How am I playing it into all of the other decks on the field? Like you know how to play your deck, but do you know how to play every other matchup? So it might get a little bit repetitive. Like if you're just playing a deck that's just set up big basic, go bash, then
yeah.
But at the same time, then just develop your skills a little bit more and move on to more not competitive decks, but more complicated decks like your Dragapults, your Gardevoirs, where it's you're learning how to move around your damage counters. You're learning how to like properly sequence your turns. Like there's drag pole games where they're just going buddy, 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 buddy. And it's like, that looks boring. It's like, but they're doing it for a reason.
A reason.
Like they're locking their opponent out of the game and building up numbers to the point where they can come out and then board wipe them potentially. So I don't know. It's one of those things of if it's getting repetitive for you, maybe just switch to something else for a bit and come back to it. Like if you do want something where every single game feels different, there's nothing wrong with that. But Yeah, just like dip out for a little bit. I don't know. I play other games. Like you said, you play Magic. I play Magic as well. Like it's good to switch it up a little bit.
And I would say even in other games where you would say it's quote unquote less repetitive, Magic still has a thing that the deck wants to do. And 100%. And if you really want to, that's why people will build like 30 decks. That's why they have a huge collection of decks. So, but awesome. Okay, next question comes from TCG Deviant, also from our YouTube community. What are you currently running yourself and why? I just built my first deck, Hop Zacian, and I really don't know what to build next.
So I don't know, it's kind of tricky because what I'm streaming, it's usually switching up decks pretty much every stream.
Right.
Recently, it's been, we're doing the budget build battle decks on Friday, so it's not standard. So in standard, I'm liking Greninja EX at the moment. It's kind of interesting. Mm. There's like a deck that uses Blaziken, Zoroark EX, and Greninja EX. So it's just kind of like getting energy into the discard pile to enable your Greninja to potentially hit two things at once. But then you also have the option to attack with your Blaziken. You have the option to attack with your Zoroark. Copying the attack of a benched Reshiram is kind of the one in there. So it helps out into the Gardevoir matchup, being able to hit them for weakness and just giving you another attacker to use. So it is, there's some interesting lines. I'm not too sure that I would recommend it for like someone to go and build that to bring to a cup or a challenge. Try it out on PTCGL first, where you don't have to invest money into it. Mm-hmm. So this isn't me saying like, oh, this is going to win a regional, but like, it's a fun deck to try. Like if you have some credits laying around to craft a new deck, absolutely try that out. Really been enjoying it.
And our final question comes from K the Rest, and they ask if getting into competitive and making it to more regional based tournaments, how difficult is that? And I think it kind of depends on what you're running and how you play your game. Where are you too? Your meta's different. 100%.
And it also, it depends on what you're expecting out of it. Like if you just want to go to regional, anyone can go to regional. Like there's no barrier to entry. It's like, oh, just sign up, you can play. It's not like you need X amount of points. But it is kind of one of those things. Get reps in on PTCGL if you haven't already. Go to your local shop. Like there's just casual game nights. There's weekly leagues. Challenges and cups are a good way to just kind of get your foot in the door. If it's your first time going to an event, I wouldn't recommend going to an original because
probably not.
It can be pretty overwhelming. But honestly, just go to your local card shop and ask what events they do have on. Also, if it's your first time ever doing like physical TCG or playing Pokemon, another great resource is going to pre-release events because everyone's kind of on the same level playing field. You get a little built-in battle kit. It's got a 40-card deck. You get four packs out of it as well. And then you're just making a deck on the day. Everyone's on that same mindset. Like they're not coming in with some competitively like top-tier deck. It's just you're drafting effectively. So it's a good way to try out new cards. You get to crack packs open early too. So it's nice. But yeah.
And if anybody had wanted to watch some of your videos to get just a little bit of maybe a little bit more of an inside look into something like a pre-release, because it is different if you don't know how to deck build, you know, do you have videos like that on your channel that people could check out?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So for every pre-release, one of the benefits of being in Australia is we're actually from the future.
Yeah.
As soon as I go to a pre-release event, I get home and I just get right to making a video for it. So it's just kind of how I went at the event. What promo cards are in it, what cards you're going to get along with that, and kind of what cards to watch for from your packs to build with, just as well, like how many trainers you want to be running, how many energies you want to be running. So every time a new set comes out, I do try and do a video for that, breaking it down. But I will do a quick little disclaimer. I'm not going to be doing one for Destined Rivals because I'm going to be traveling the next few weeks. If you want to watch a previous one, it will kind of give you just like an idea of what to look for in a pre-release. It won't necessarily tell you those exact cards, but just like the mindset to have and what you need to actually participate in the event.
And at the end of the day, this entire conversation just kind of goes to show that no matter what your skill level, if you've never done something like this before, there's a million and one resources out there to help you get into the game. Do not look at it as a barrier. And at the end of the day, if you really need help, go into a local card shop and just ask somebody. Card nerds love to take new players under their wing and be like, look at all of this. So don't let that be a barrier for you. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much, Triple BTCG, for joining us today. And where can they find you?
So if you want to check out my videos, I'm over on YouTube. I do shorts. So YouTube shorts, TikTok shorts, doing card reveals as well. And then I'm streaming on Twitch Wednesday and Friday nights, Australian Central Time. So if you're somewhere else on the world, just check the schedule and it'll convert it over for you. But yeah, I think that's about it. There's other places you can find me, but I'm not going to tell you my home address or anything.
No social security numbers. And you can find me at Wazakis Gaming on all major platforms and the Pokied Centered podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. Thank you guys so much for watching and have a great day. Bye-bye.